So the topic for today will be, can a frum Jew work in the business world? Which seems to be Rav Hartzin. Did you turn Satmar? Like, what happened to you? You know, what's going on? And the answer is that there is a bit of a conflict in that we have seen, whether it's on TV, in the news, frum people who get arrested, specifically doing things in business that are illegal and go to jail with their yarmulkes on. And we may hear of people who don't get caught but do shady things as well. So the question is, do the two actually go together? I related, for those of you that were in Rabbi Sobolowski's wonderful shiur, I had used as my lessons from the lathe this week in the extended part, something that Rabbi Sobolowski said a year ago. And I think it speaks very much to us. We generally think about, when we think about Gedolim, so we think about usually their great qualities of Yiras Hashem. They're so close to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, especially when you go to a rabbi for a bracha. Right? It's not that we believe that, you know, he's closer to Hashem because that's the way God made him. He worked on it. And because of his learning the entire day and whatever it might be, that got him close to Hashem. But there has to be another aspect, which is the aspect of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. And as Rabbi Sobolowski pointed out, and in fact, I don't know if you heard within it, the way I introduced him was so perfect, with all due respect to me patting myself on the back, because he literally told a shaila over about someone, if you remember, just a review. Right? A kid who was 30 days old, actually it was the 31st day, because 30th day was Shabbos. And the 31st day, he had to do a pidyon haben, but he turned out to be in the hospital after the surgery. And the shaila was, should you do the pidyon haben without him present, you know, and whatever, in the shul, because obviously he can't come because he's in the hospital, or can they wait an extra days, and then it'll be like a huge simcha, because we'll have the pidyon haben, and Baruch Hashem, he's well now, right? And make a big party. So Rabbi Sobolowski paskin that even though the ikur din of halacha, we said, was zrizim matim le mitzvos, and when a mitzvah comes upon you, al tachmitzen, right? We know all those different halachas. And really the hidr mitzvah, of course, is to do it right away. Maybe there was a sniffle halacha, we said, because it was actually the 31st day anyway, because of Shabbos. We said it's not like mila. Mila has to be done bizmano, unless the god forbid the baby's sick. We don't delay it. This is different. And Rabbi Sobolowski said that even though there's an ikar adin, a person has to think with his mind. And he has to think to himself, you know what, there may be an ikar adin, but there's also the heart. So there's also, if you will, there's that aspect of ben adam l'makom and ben adam l'chaveiro. And as a rav, if you're a true poisek, you have to look at both aspects. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik speaks about this at great length when he talks about, in his sefer, it's called Logic of the Mind and Logic of the Heart. And he said that the this is something that Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, when he gave the famous hesped on Rav Chaim Ozer Gudzinski and saying how the godless that he had. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik speaks about this idea too, that the Kohen Gadol wore the tzitz on his head that said Kodesh LaHashem, that symbolized the mind, as we do with our tefillin every morning, and he wore the Ketzos HaChoshen on his heart, as we do when we symbolize the arm tefillin. And there has to be a logic of the mind and a logic of the heart. Just like the halacha may teach us that there are certain times where the halacha dictates we have to do something, there is actually times where the heart says you can't do that. Let me give you an example, of course, that comes to mind. As for some reason, I've been hearing lately a lot of cases of COVID. It doesn't hit here. Hashem, it's becoming something that's lighter as far as the illness itself, but COVID is hitting all over the world again. But if you remember way back when COVID really hit, so we remember that many of the shuls were closed, certainly in communities like Bergen County, the five towns, you couldn't go to shul. So how do you respond to that? On one hand, there's a halacha that tells us that you should go to minyan. So what's going on over here? So the answer is you have to think with your mind and say, yes, I know the halacha, black and white, but then there's the heart, and the heart's trying to save people's lives, literally. Right? Right in the beginning of it, there was a famous doctor that walked into his shul in Queens, and he said, what if I told you right now that I'm 100% sure that from you davening here together, because because they didn't listen to the rules. There were no laws at the time, but you not listening to the rules, one person from this shul will be killed. We'll get COVID and die. Would you stop the minyan? He goes, I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. He knew what Nebuch was happening. And there are some times where you have to think with both the heart and realize that. And that's the way a real poisek passing to lach. I've had many shilas that I went to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik for, and I have to be honest, was shocked with what he said to me. And he would always say to me, this is just for you, for this specific situation, because I understand the predicament you're in. It's b'di'evet, but I understand the predicament you're in. That's the truth, and that's what Avraham Avinu really taught us. He concentrated so much, of course, on monotheism, on the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that relationship. But we see in our parsha, he concentrates so much on the relationship that he had with other people. He's chaloshing when he's the sickest he can be on the third day of his mila at almost 100 years old. And what is he doing? Kichom Hayom. The Ribbono Shel Olam thought the Chom Hayom was a good thing, right? Because he wanted to make sure you can be like Avraham Avinu, like be any one of us, be like, oh, it's hot outside, I don't have to go to Binyan this morning, you know, like, right, an excuse. But he said no. And he's chaloshing for Malachim to come, for someone to find him, so that he can feed them. And we see how well he does it. Those psukim purposely tell us what he serves them. It doesn't seem to be any relevance. Of course there's relevance to it. You don't just feed them, right? There are people who are pretty amazing. I'm not included in this, although I told my story to the Shadabed guys. I had the schuss of hosting Rabbi Kainard, who's the head of Mount Scopus in school in Australia, where my daughter is for the year. He's a very, very chush of a person. And when I asked him, those rabbis, I think, are all the same. They're not like me. He said, you know, what would you like to drink? Most of them, you have water. I'm like, that's the way it is. We don't, you know. I'm the one who's like, you don't have any Coke. So he's like, you don't have any Diet Coke, do you? I'm like, oh, no, I have Coke Zero. He's like, yeah, it's not Diet Coke, but okay. I'm like, wow, this guy's like me. He's like addicted to it. He's like, I said, actually, I have a can of Diet Coke. Do you open cans? Yeah, I open cans of chocolate. He was so excited. Avraham Avinu taught us that lesson. Avraham Avinu had in his refrigerator mustard. He gave him the most choice meal. There were malachim. He said, you got to give them tongue? Each of them had to get the, yeah, yeah. Bread, hot bread. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true chesed. Stone, what does he care about stone for? What is he doubting? Because he's ben adam l'makom ben adam l'chaver. So now we go to our shaila. Can we combine the two? Comes to mind the beautiful letter that was written to Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner, of course, Pachad Yitzchak, has all those, in the back, has all the letters. And someone writes him a letter and speaks about how he feels like he's living a double life. Here he is, a yeshiva bacher. This is a very common question that I've gotten before. You're a yeshiva bacher. You're Baruch Hashem, let's say, you're zochet to go to yeshiva 2 years. You have a real foundation. And then, let's say, whatever, you go to YU. You go to Landers. You go to, I saw, Mark Merrill's going to Shayashav. You go to Shayashav, whatever. Whatever it is, whatever. And you're strong in learning. But you realize that you have to have a pardasa. And then you go out the first day, the first job, and you're like, holy cow, I'm living a double life. I live the life of yeshiva bacher, and then I get to work. I feel like I don't know what. What's going on here? And it's only a letter, but seemingly Rav Huttner gets very, very upset the way he wrote the letter. He says, what do you mean double life? You don't live a double life. You live a broad life. The way we're supposed to live. It's very easy for someone to say, you know what? I don't want anything to do with the community. Because there's Yetzirah. Because it's going to be difficult. There are going to be challenges. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to move to Meir Shar. I'm going to move to Gula. I'm going to move to Bet. And I don't have to deal with anybody. Okay, I may have problems when I get on a plane and I'm not going to know how to act because I'm from a certain community. Okay. And we never sit next to women and therefore I'm going to have a problem on the plane. Okay, fine. But it's perfect. I don't have to worry about it. Refortner says no. That's not the ideal. The ideal is to be like we are. We look exactly like them. We're wearing clothes that look like non-Jews. All the fashions of the non-Jews, except for one change. Wearing a yarmulkes, tzitzis. It's supposed to set us apart, set us aside. Rav Huttner says, you know what a double life is? A double life is, it's funny, reminds me of somebody I know. He has a job. He lives in Israel, and he has a job. I'm embellishing a little bit. And he also, he works in America. So he has to go every few weeks. And guess what he has when he's in America? He's got another family. Right? If you know, on TV, there's something called Lifetime. It's like the women's channel there. And they always have these stories about it's always against the husbands. The husband's always having he's got two wives, and then they meet each other one day, and it turns out there's four wives, and in each town he goes, oh, whatever, okay, we're terrible. He's good. But he goes, that you don't have a, it's just, this is the life you have to live. It's called challenges. And he gives the example. He says, I was in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, and I met the great Dr. Wallach. Dr. Wallach was one of the founders of Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. And he says, I told one of the greatest gedolim, he didn't say it was, of Yerushalayim, this story. I saw that when Dr. Wallach was about to go into surgery, he went to the patient that he was about to perform surgery on. You know what he said to him? Can I have your Hebrew name and your mother's name? And the... The doctor said, the patient says, why doctor? Now you're expecting, you know, if you were Daniel Hartstein, the answer would be, oh, because I've never performed this type of surgery before. So like, you really need a refuah, man. I don't know. No. You know what he says? He says, I'll tell you why. He says, I'm a doctor. The Rebbeinu Shalom gave me a license to perform refuah. Ani Hashem Rofecha. But it's all him. And we need the help of the Rebbeinu Shalom. He says, that's the life the Rebbeinu Shalom wants us to live. To combine the Bein Adam L'Makom and the Bein L'Chaveiro. That's it. Wow. And you know how many stories there are told about people who may have not become from, that's not the point here, but become more aware of their Judaism. You know why? Because of someone who spoke to them the right way, and they said, wow, this person is different. Let me find out more about this religion. That's what Rav Huttner is saying. So why is it that there are people who are well known for their shenanigans when it comes to business? And the answer is very simple. It's a Yetzirah. If we don't recognize that money is a Yetzirah, so we have to go any farther than 2 weeks ago's Parsha, Parshas Noach. Surprisingly, the Torah tells us that the world is not destroyed because of the three cardinal sins they're performing. They're literally not only committing Gilui Arayos, they're committing bestiality. They're having relations with other animals, as we spoke about with the raven. They're doing Avodah Zarah. They're killing people. And the Torah describes, Noach, you know why I'm destroying the world? Because of Hamas, the terrorist organization. No, because you're a bunch of thieves and robbers and that's why. I can't stand people that steal. And it makes sense, Rabbi Sai, because on Shabbos Chazon, we read, of course, the Chazon, Yishayahu Perek Aleph. And famously, it sounds very similar to what we'll be learning in a few days from then, in the Megillas Eicha, and it starts, Eicha Haisa L'Zayna. Why has my city become a harlot? Kriya Zed L'Zona, Kriya Ne'emana. The faithful city used to be filled with justice and now it's not. Kaspecha Hayu L'Sigim. Your silver has become garbage to me. And your wine has been cut with water. Your rulers have become cronies and thieves. So the Radak says, Osim Masbeya Sheker, Choshvim Bnei Adam, Ki Kesef. They would make phony money. We always thought Sinas Chinam, the first Beis HaMikdash, also three cardinal sins. No, says the Rebbeinu Shalom, I'm destroying your faithful city because of the way you've acted. This isn't Yerushalayim. You're dishonest with your weights and measures. You know, back in the olden days, I actually have some of these. My father used to collect coins. So we have the American dollars from 1898 that actually have the real silver amount, right? It used to be We talked about Pidyon HaBen. You guys are learning about Pidyon HaBen. So, and my son's bris, as my son's, sorry, Pidyon HaBen, my son Yaakov's Pidyon HaBen, his birthday was last week. So I remember it quite well. We actually did it on Moshe Shabbos. Rabbi Seleski spoke out. I was laughing because Rabbi Seleski spoke out. There's a pikabal. Some people don't want to do it at night. So we did it on Moshe Shabbos in a Chinese place. Wait, sorry, I'll get to you. So, in any case, so I remember my father gave us real 5 silver coins. And usually we just use half dollars, even though they're not really their value. It's okay. Thank God the coin gave it back to us, because it's a shaila today, but that the Kohanim are soimchim, mumchim, we don't know who are Kohanim today. Okay, Yishkaya. But the Rabbeinu Shalom says, how dare you? You're dishonest with your Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. I don't care about your Dama Mako. Rabbi said, I don't know if you remember this, but last year when you were introduced to me, my first shir to you was the famous Machloikis, I said, between the Gemara in Shabbos and Sanhedrin, where one Gemara says after 120 years, God's going to ask you, Nasat Nasat Be'amuna, were you honest in your business dealings? And only the second question will be Kobe'itim Watara. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin said, the first question the Rabbeinu Shalom is going to ask you after 120 years is going to be what? It's going to be, Ein Tichlas Dinot Shel Adam Ela Divrei Torah. So he said, why the two Gemaras soiser each other? Which one is it? And the answer we gave by the Eli Rab in the name of the Rosh was, and I'll just read the words because they're so scary. De'im Maso Matan Shelo Be'emuna. Shelo be'emuna limodo hu chil Hashem. In the ein matzah matzah, if his business dealings are not honest, you know what your Torah is worth to him? Nothing. Zero. Your silver has become dross to me, as the pasuk says. You are nothing. You are nobody. Please. You have no respect for me. I don't care. Your ben adam l'chaveiro is all about your ben adam l'makom, and vice versa. And therefore, says the Radak, for you to sell wine and tell people it's full of 100% pure whatever, and it's not, is a problem. But what's the yesod of that problem? The yesod of the problem is that when somebody, Dafka, is dishonest when it comes to business, when it comes to money, he's showing the Rabbeinu Shalom he has no faith in the Rabbeinu Shalom. He has no emuna. Because the Rabbeinu Shalom decided how much money you have to make every year. And what do you say? No. He doesn't know. I remember years ago, I used to do this every year in class. I would scare the guys. And I would go to the whiteboard and I would write, how much money do you need to make? I only know America. How much money do you need to make in America in order to make it? Right? Remember I did this last year? See, I remember. Right? It's like crazy stuff, right? Because if you have a kid in school, how much does high school cost nowadays? I don't know, 30,000? Right? Leva Torah used to be like 20 something, now it's like 30 also, right? It's crazy. So if you take Baruch Hashem, you have 4 kids, you have 5 kids, you have whatever it might be. So you're talking about, already you're up to like $150,000. And now you want to go on a strictly vacation. You have a summer camp. Huh? Summer camps, you know, could be $5,000 to $8,000 depending on 1 month, 2 months. Right? So imagine being able to say to a father, you know you have to make $300,000. Not $300,000 so you can live a fancy schmancy life. To live. $250,000. Way back when I used to work for the yeshiva. So I would go over, I would help Rav Citron go over the credit app, the applications of people who wanted scholarships. And he would say to me, what a chutzpah, look at this guy from New York. He's making a solid $175 a year. What does he need money from me for? I'm like, because he's got 3 kids in YU. You know, like, forget it. This guy's poor. Forget it. So I get the Yetzer of saying, come on, I'll just do this. Come on. And I have to tell you something, and I apologize for saying this. I never understood, I'm not quoting it 100%, I don't have it in front of me, but Rav Sternbach has a tshuva that I found so offensive when I used to read it. Rav Sternbach's the head of the Eidah Haredes. He's not the biggest fan of Medinas Yisrael. So there's a shaila in Halacha, which is an interesting shaila, Bina de Malchus Adina, when it applies to Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is owned by everyone. He's at Tzibor. Okay, there's a nice, cute shtickle Torah you could have by there. But then he says, when he's talking about specifically taxes, he said, well, listen, taxes obviously do not have to be paid if you have an unjust government. So if you're living in Nazi Germany, right, and they ask for taxes, the Jew tax, okay, so you can figure out how to cheat them. That's mutter, we all know that. So he claims that in this Medina, things are so dishonest. Look at all the people that get arrested, all the politicians all the time. They're stealing, they're lying. And it happens to be, I have to tell you something, I once saw a letter when I was working here. I couldn't believe this letter. If I didn't see it, Rabbi Yisai, I wouldn't even say it. We were supposed to, as you know, you guys are zeicha to have a beautiful basketball court. But years and years, what basically happened is that the state of Israel has to build parks and that. So they was going to build part of the basketball court, and we were going to finish it off. And then they were going to put the foundation on it and the floor, and we were going to put everything else on. A lot of work. But in any case, they were supposed to do it, and they didn't do it. And we got lucky. One of the elections, the right people got into government, and I remember coming here, some of those great elected officials, and they're going to help us, so on and so forth. And then finally, things start to move. And we get a letter that we were copied on from Medina Yisrael, from the government, that says the following. We're ready to transfer the 250,000 shekel to build the foundation for the basketball court, but it seems that whenever we transfer money to the city of Beit Shemesh, it gets lost. And it gets moved to something like, 250,000 shekel, let's build another shul in Gimel or a dollar today. Right? You can't do that. It was a shocking letter that I saw. So sometimes you say to yourself, come on. I've heard this before from Americans saying, well, I'm not so honest on my taxes because I'm not for gay marriage. Or I don't need parks. I don't have any kids anymore. I don't care about public school. So I shouldn't pay my... So Rav Shachter always says, you're not stealing from Goyim, you're stealing from Jews. Because Jews are going to have to pay more taxes because you refuse to pay taxes. We're not like that. Yeah, we're upset. It's terrible. Hartstein has to pay taxes twice. I paid to the American government, and the same money that I've just given to the American, they say, okay, we also want money, Israel says. What am I going to do? That's what am I going to do? So the Emek Dover says something remarkable. I don't want to get into the detail. I don't want this to turn into a specific yesod against one person. But there is a famous person that's going around. Please don't call out his name. And he's giving shurim on Emunah and Bitachon, which brought him the Gula. Aleph, Beis. And he's speaking about it. And he was a convicted felon who went to jail. Certainly, he shouldn't have gone for the amount of years that he was supposed to. He was pardoned. And he's going around giving shurim on Emunah and Bitachon. And I find it to be absolutely hilarious because of what the Emek Dover says. The Netziv of Elazhin asks, why is it that B'nai Yisrael was cursed with Amalek coming upon them? And he says it's because we weren't careful with our business dealings, specifically in Mishkalot. Weights and measures. He says, this is interesting because in the Midbar, what weights and measures? And he says, well, what's so bad? He says, I'll tell you. He says that She'omru Chomor Avon Mishkalot Yoter Megillei Arayos. Listen to what I just said again. The Avera of dishonest weights and measures is worse than Gilei Arayos. Why? Umiata Goyim Michavera Kli Yakar Yachol Yosheba Mitzad HaTayva. If I steal something from my friend, his wife, or a chefetz, whatever it is, it was a tiger that I had for a moment. Every single day, the guy shows me his stupid watch. I can't stand it. By the way, did you see my watch? You know how much this watch is? This watch is, I don't know, happens to be. I got this as a gift. And the guy gave it to me. Baruch Hashem, I didn't act like a normal Daniel Hartstein. If I was to guess, how much do you think this watch is worth? I don't know. I thought maybe, you know, I got it on Amazon for, you know, $60. You know. $600 and something, $699. I'm like, what? And the people who are fancy Schmidt, people have come up to me like, wow, you have a Shahina, you have a that, oh, Detroit. Wow. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Just a watch. It's a leather band. It smells. I don't like it. So it's a tie. So let's say the guy, the old days, you finally, you can't take it anymore, you take the watch. Because you have a tie because you can't stand him. But, Yachal Yosheba Mitzara Taiva, Loisa Dovrazah. Megeder Arayos, Nebuch Lo Aleinu, a person goes off the path and does Gilui Arayos. And he goes back to his wife and he says, I'm sorry, I was stupid, what was I thinking? Avala Oysa Mishkal HaSheker, but if you do dishonest business dealings when it comes to weights and measures. Ain't no midercha taiva. That's not taiva. Chisor namuna. You have no amuna. You don't believe in hashkach l'pratzot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The lack of amuna is what it comes from. Why? Because you set up a system, right? Imagine you own a butcher. So you set up a system at the butcher that everybody that buys a pound of whatever, brisket, corned beef, they put it on the scale, they're not getting 1 pound. They're actually getting 0.98. Or you charge them more, whatever it might be. Right? So you know that it's actually exactly a pound, and it says on your scale 1.2. Here and there, but $50 here and $50 there, it's going to make you a lot of money. That's a chisarim be'emuna, says the Netziv. You're giving me shurim about emuna when you went to jail? You didn't go to jail like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says when he got a shaila about somebody said he was collecting money for pidyon shvuyim, for somebody that was in jail, so they should have a good lawyer. Because that's not pidyon shvuyim. Pinyon Shvuyim is when someone's captive because they're Maharal Prague. Because some crazy crooked government goes up to them and says, oh, you're being arrested. He says, what are we going to be arrested for? Because you have a crooked nose. Sorry, that's a new law we have. All the Jews are going to get arrested now. Crooked noses. Yeah. That's Pinyon Shvuyim. This is not. Just, I read you the words of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach just to scare you. Harei HaTorah Omer lo tignov. V'hu goynev kesev adaraba. Tov sheyaseh kitzati, sheyashev kitzat bekela. He should go to jail a little bit and experience what it is when you do something wrong. Azai chutzpah. Who do you think you are? You're telling me about business, about amunah, bitachon? You have the amunah. And we know this, Rabbi said, we know this. Sometimes Emunah bitachon, it comes in different waves and ways. So to answer my original question, can you be a firm person and be in the business world? The answer is yes. I think I'm in the business world. The answer is yes. But know that it's a yetzar. And know that it's very hard to have the emunah. Yes, it is. It's hard to be able to say, one of the greatest lessons I ever got, and I this was a Tinok Shanishpa case, I didn't know any better. I was just first starting out in the work world. And I was going over invoices, and I found at the time was the one of the largest telecom companies was AT&T. AT&T had made a mistake and billed us $10,000 instead of $100,000. They were off by a zero. I found a $90,000 mistake. I was so excited. I went into the CEO's office, who was a nice, firm person, and I told him, and I was like thinking that he would give me, you know, like $90,000, give me 10%, you know, something, I don't know. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he says to me, what? What are you talking about? They made a mistake. I'm like, I know they made a mistake. So I thought he was going to be like Lomdish. I said, it's Tosakum. You know, Tosakum. Tosakum La'alocha says, you don't have to report it back to them. It's AT&T. They're never going to know. He says, you're too new. You're a rookie, he said. Let me tell you what's going to happen. In a month from now, 2 months, 6 months, they're going to find out. And they're going to come back to us and they're going to say, we know you knew. Come on, you didn't know. You knew. Legally, we can't do anything about it. There's no way we can bill you for it now. But we don't want to do business with you anymore. And let me tell you something else that you should know for the rest of your life. Nothing good will happen out of those $90,000. Because it's not really our money. Wow, what a lesson I got. And let me tell you something very, very special. I don't know if this is, but this is a funny result of the story. AT&T ended up buying our company for $1.4 billion. Because Hartstein didn't, you know, because I reported the mistake, I don't know. But I did report the mistake, and they were so excited and so happy, and especially the person who made the mistake. Being honest has such a great feeling sometimes. Returning money when you don't have to, the Shulchan Aruch says that even if it's Tos Akam, if you could do a Kiddush Hashem, you should return the money. I've had the zchus of doing that. More than once, I just had the story 2 years ago when I was in America and I was in Target, which I happen to hate Target. I think it's so expensive. But okay, my wife had a list of Target things. And I love when I go to Target. I don't know why. I love doing the self-checkout. I don't know. I don't know why. I feel like I'm doing my ishtadlis here. So I love the help. Beep, 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 beep. You know, I love doing it. But I'm always the guy with the red thing on the top. And then please ask for cash to your assistants. And there's always like, sir, you have to put it down into the bag. I'm like, oh, okay, fine. So now when I go pay, as I pay, I see that there's four $20 bills sticking out of the change thing. $80. And I'm like,
lucky day.
So I am sure the moment it happens, I'll tell you the first thing I did. I start fixing my hair. I said, no, this is the TV show. I saw this. Dateline, you know? This is it. What's his name? John Canone or whatever? He's going to come out and he goes, why did you give the money back? And I'm going to be like, I'm going to tell you why I gave the money back. You know, I'm a firm person, the Gemara says. And he's going to be like, wow. And it's going to be all over. Finally, people will listen to lessons from the labor. It's going to be amazing. I had the dream. So I start going up there and I'm walking, you know, making sure I'm looking at like, hi, how are you? My name is Daniel Hartstein. And I just found $80 in the machine that came out. It's not my money. You see, I'm an Orthodox Jew, and I can't take this money. So here you go, sir. And he's like, all right. And he puts it in his pocket, as if he's going to leave with it. And I go to the car, and I'm like, idiot. What? I felt that for a second, and then I drove away, and I said, that's a Jew. I promise you nothing good would ever happen with that $80. Even if, and this is the worst thing, people say this all the time, oh, I would have given it to Stucka. No. Stucka doesn't solve your problems. You don't rob a bank and say, yeah, but I gave 10% to Stucka. I gave 20. No. So, I don't know what happened in the end. It could be, I'm not making up a story. Somebody walked in 10 minutes later and said, excuse me, I don't believe this. I left my money, it's $80. And the guy's like, you're not going to believe this. I have the money. Some weirdo with the skull cap on and horns came in and told me a whole story about the Rambam says you have to be Echab Apev, Echab Alev. It says in the Hilchos Deos and in Perik Beis. And this woman walks out and she says, you know, I know that I'm Jewish, but I've never been religious. And then she becomes religious. And then she seeks me out and we get married. No. But that's the way a person has to be, Rabbi Yisai. Yes, there's challenges. Of course there is. But you're not gonna want the challenge. That's what your life is about. I submit to you that we have the most difficult lives. Being whatever you want to call yourself, I don't want to give you a title of modern Orthodox. I don't want to, you know, say something disparaging if you don't take that well. Or, you know, my Rebbe used to say, you're a Torah Jew, that's what you are. Right? Dati Lumi, whatever the term is. Why do I say that? Because if you're Haredi, you're Hasidish, and you live in that world, so you live, no pun intended, in a very black and white world, or a very Oreo cookie world, right? Right? You have this is the way that you are. You live not part of society, you have nothing to do, you don't have to serve in the army, you don't have to do any, shkoyach, and you live a life with a lot of Yiras Hashem. Maybe you're Ben Adam L'Chaver, we can work on that a little bit, but okay. And if you're not religious, it's wonderful. You don't have to have the same Yiras Hashem. You get to do whatever you want. It's wonderful. You're part of society. You can go out to those meals with your non-religious clients, non-Jewish clients, and it's great. And then if you're part of the world and you dress like them and you look like them and they expect that you are them, what's the challenge of that? Having to say something very difficult sometimes to say, I'm sorry, but I don't, you know, my wife's very machmir. She doesn't allow me to get a massage from a coworker, you know? Talmud called me and said to me, my coworker wants to give me like a shtickle massage. She does it to everybody. I'm like, no. Or go to your boss, it's hard, and saying, I'm sorry, I can't sign this document. Because it says that we build a company for 180 hours. I only worked 100 hours. I'm sorry, I won't do it. Yes, that's a challenge. But that's what we're ready for, the challenge. And yes, serving in the army, for those that are going, yes, it's a challenge. Trust me, I have a son. It's a challenge to have to be Michal Shabbos, even though it's the Heter, week in and week out while you're serving in the army, because your commander is going to text you, legally he can, to make sure that you're up or make sure that you're doing the misima the way it should be. That's much more of a challenge for both. Let me end off with the words of something that we say quite often. Tanya be Eliyahu l'kasha nehalachas mutzach losha bein olam haba. A person who learns halacha, shayin halachas, he's going to be a bein olam haba. Shenemar halichas olam al tikri halichas ala halachas. It's ways of the world, don't we? Ways of the world, but the halachas of the world, the laws of the world. So Shlomo Zalman Aruch says, do me a favor. What are we playing here? There. See, it's the same. What is this, a poem, a haiku? What's going on over here? So he says, Shana Aleph guy, right?
Rebbe, why do you have to do all this stupid stuff? I think God cares.
I was telling him about my Rav Hartstein's pet peeves in Leiva Torah. So my current pet peeve I'm trying to work on, and that's the new soda machine. That's stealing your money for 10 shekel a bottle of soda. Okay, fine, not for now.
Aisha.
But I said I can't stand... No, the bigger the bottles are at that.
Yeah, you paid 11 yesterday.
But the guys that come to davening, not many, of course, at 3:30 and put their tefillin on. And usually the same guy is like this when he puts his tefillin on. It's like it's got gum in his mouth. Like, how do you have gum in your mouth? Talk to Rabbanu Shalom. Fine. Why does I say it's a pet peeve? Is it? What kind? Okay. Memela, you woke up at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Right? Even if you can't daven at that moment, the first thing you do is connect to the Rabbanu Shalom. God really cares if I make up. So let me give you the example. I gave him this example. It's a funny example. I come to work in the morning. Finally, after my flight being delayed, and I come in Monday morning, Tuesday morning, whatever. And I walk into work. Pedro walks in. He goes, "Hey, Daniel, what's going on? How are you doing, Mr. Daniel? I got you special kiss up. I got you your Diet Dr. Pepper, my favorite. Now I'm in a good mood. Baruch atah Hashem shakol b'yavro. I'm so excited." It's 9:30 in the morning. 2 minutes later, Hector comes, our chef. I don't know why Hector scared of me, which is amazing. Mr. Daniel, you're here. I make you fresh poppers, very spicy. I'm like, oh, Baruch Hashem. So I didn't know about the poppers. I have to make another bracha. Baruch atah shakol. I am so excited now. Shockingly, my stomach's not so excited. So I run to the bathroom. I come out of the bathroom. I say Asher Yotzer. I've now made 3 brachas. And now I sit down to work and an email comes in. Oh, this is a difficult one. Do I tell him the truth? Do I not tell him the truth about this? Whatever it is, doesn't matter. I just made 3 brachas. I'm like, oh, come on. I got God on my mind. I may not remember the yarmulke and the tzitzit somewhere. So Sefer Shlomo Zalman Aruch, halichos olam, that's us. If we're always have God on our mind because we're always constantly doing mitzvahs, how are we going to sin? It's impossible. He says further on, relating to the next holiday we have on our calendar, he says, it's amazing because it's the mahut of his life. V'zeh prat lith bonenba. In Maseches Uksin, famously, we end off the last of the Mishnayos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't find a kli mechzik bracha el ha-shalom. And the joke is that I just learned Mishnayos. You learned Gemara. There's not any place where there's less shalom than rabbis fighting with each other. Every maski flei ravash. I don't believe with you. You don't know what you're talking about. V'yaldei esponos ro'yim sha'atora mecharkes es ha-pirud shel ha-shalom. V'yaldei mebemitzvahs ner chanukah. She mitzvahs derabanan bilvad. And there's so much talked about, even more than the mitzvah of sukkah, lulav, tzitzis, tefillin, mishum pursuing nisa. We have to be so careful that Baruch Hashem and Eretz Yisrael, we're able to light outside. Lamdenoba, ad kamer yisur la'adam liyot kaif v'toiv. Pursuing nisa says, God saved us when we're in the darkness. You can't be a kaif v'toiv. And that establishes who we are. Brachas establishes us so that we thank people all the time. And don't say, what do you mean? He's my waiter. Why should I thank him? He's getting paid. No. Because everything he's doing is right, because he can't get God off his mind. He's infatuated with the Ribbono Shel Olam because he's always doing mitzvahs. Because that Ben Adam L'Chaverah means a lot to him. It's not just about the brachos. So yes, the answer is, you can be a businessman. You can be a successful business person. But you have to do shtadlus. It's not the easy way out. The easy way out is to sit in kolo for the rest of your life. The easy way out is to leave the religion and do whatever you want to do. And yes, you may see people that are dishonest. You may see that. I once had a conversation, I don't want to mention his name, he happens to be a very famous current minister in the government. In a few days will not be a minister anymore. And we were talking about, he says, yeah, but you know, by the Haredim, look how they act sometimes, and look at it. I said to him, let me ask you something. Atashamata Pama Bernie Madoff? He says, yeah. He goes, so you're a robber also, because he's not religious and you're not religious, so you're robbers. We don't group people together because you're a human being, Jeffrey Dahmer. You're human, you kill people all the time. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? And the answer is that we have crazy. I said, can I tell you what the difference is? I go, those people can't cut their payas off. And if there's one bad apple, it is what it is. It's shocking. I was once talking to someone who lived in debt. I used to go to the mikveh in debt. And he said to me, I'm so upset, these protests. You know who these people are that are protesting, the crazy people. Because he's saying to me, the Haredi guy. It's like, these are the Nebuch, these are people who have nothing to do with their lives. They're not learners. They can't learn in a base madrash. They get paid by someone to throw rocks or whatever it is, to burn a garbage can. These aren't our people. And if we say it, we can't say anything because then they'll destroy our houses. Nebuch, they look like them. Doesn't mean just because you may see somebody get arrested, that's not us. We have to shun. We have to say, no, that person can't speak in my yeshiva. That person can't speak in my school. No, I'm sorry. We're ethical. Avraham Avinu taught us a lesson. Ben Adam L'Chaver, Ben Adam L'Makom is a must. And we should be zeichet to that.